Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. TED Talks, TED standing for Technology, Entertainment, and Design, have become immensely popular in recent years for their ability to relate often complex ideas today in a variety of scientific, cultural, and academic disciplines to a curious but general audience. These 18-minute time-limited talks are about big ideas or a problem and possible solution. Now, TED has been around since 1984, but it was the development of video on demand that has made TED a household name. By 2012, TED had seen 1 billion views of their video talks, and today they average 17 views a second. With the success of TED came a variety of independently organized TED Talks known as TEDx. The first TEDx comes to the University of Tulsa today and will feature a variety of university professors and students talking about their work and their passions. While this inaugural event is sold out, the videos of the talk will be posted to the university's TEDx site. My guest today is the mentor for the TEDx event, Charles Wood. He's an associate professor of marketing at the University of Tulsa. We're also joined by one of the speakers, Abhi Matamoros, a senior student in economics and finance, who already, while in college, has done 2 startup businesses. He'll be talking about that today at the Lorton Performance Center as TEDx takes place at the University of Tulsa. Charles and Abhi, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks.
Thank you for having me.
Today marks the first TED event ever at the University of Tulsa, TEDx. Charles, tell us about how this came about.
Right. Well, TEDx is a subset of the larger TED universe, X meaning that it's locally organized. So I'm part and I oversee a program called the Nova Fellowship, which Abhi is also part of, and a couple of students, some very dynamic students, Katie Snyder and Hannah Hutchison, decided they wanted this to be their project. The Nova Fellowship encourages students from different majors to get together and pursue something that's really something they care about. And their idea was to put on a TEDx event here at TU. So I said yes, and everybody pretty much jumped on board, and we've been working steadily at it since last fall.
Abhi, let me ask you, TED seems to particularly inspire a certain type of person, and I'm wondering, from a different generation, are these talks really interesting to students?
Absolutely, yeah. And they have all types of talks. Yeah. There's some that are particularly interesting to students and some that are not, and that's the idea, that they want to just share ideas that are worth spreading, whether it be to an older crowd or to younger people. I believe a lot of these talks will be directed to college students because they will be given by college students and professors. But I'm sure some of these talks will be very interesting to a lot of people, not just the younger crowd.
Now, your group that decided to put this on, what was the reasoning behind this particular project?
Well, at Nova, we're always trying to do something new, something exciting, something innovative. We believe, and especially Hannah, believed that running a TEDx event would be fun, would be innovative, would be different, and would be exciting. Would be exciting for the students, would be exciting for the Nova Fellowship, and it, so far it has been.
Now, I think once you came up with this idea, I guess there's a number of hoops you have to jump through to get a TEDx event. What sort of things did you have to go through?
Oh, well, as the organizers, TEDx has a lot of rules about how to put it on, so that was a learning process too. For example, with a first-time event, you can only have 100 people present. I think that's to limit damage if there is going to be any. but we're pretty confident this is going to be a tremendous thing, and we can do it year after year. The TED people also require a license, so we had to do the usual licensing fees. Plus, there's just the color, the look. Everything needs to be consistent. We had to produce a video at the end of all the talks. So I'm hopeful that those get watched as much as the, event itself.
And really, as we speak today, the 100 tickets are pretty much sold out, correct?
Yes, those sold out quickly.
So will there be video feeds into the lobby or –
what we decided to do with the lobby was to make it more like a networking lounge area where people could meet each other. I mean, part of the whole purpose of Nova, as Abhi said, is to try to get students from different disciplines together, and even faculty and staff and people from other parts of the school, collaborating together. And the TEDx event really helps us accomplish that goal. And that networking lounge is designed to help anybody from the community also drop in and see some things, other things that are going on at TU.
And I suppose that's kind of an interesting goal within itself, because we think of the University of Tulsa as being a fairly small campus, but various divisions don't ever see each other. I mean, an arts and sciences professor may not interact all that often with an engineering professor unless they're involved in sort of interdisciplinary studies. And so that's a good thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. Sometimes a new idea is just a new combination of different ideas. And we believe that by bringing people in from the business school, from the engineering school, we can come up with something together that no one's ever done.
No, Abhi, you've done that already, and even in your college career, you've created two startups already, and I think that's going to be the subject of your talk. You're actually speaking today.
Right. I'm going to talk a little bit about why I think starting a business while you're in school is a great thing to do, and why I think it might be one of the best times to do it. We can bear the risk. We don't have a family to support. We have a lot of resources at our fingertips. A lot of students don't realize that, and I learned that by... I didn't know that till I actually started working on my first startup, and I learned that there's so many great resources that once I leave school, I'm not going to have. Another one is like business plan competitions where you can win money without having to give up equity or go into debt. That's usually unheard of out in the real world. Right. There's a lot of great opportunities like
that. Now, what was your first startup?
It's called InspireVive. Mm-hmm. It was a social media marketing company where we promoted companies that did good in the community, while also motivating people to go out into the community
and volunteer,
right. Give blood, raise awareness on social media.
And the incentive was tickets to concerts.
Right. You get points for volunteering. You get points for raising awareness. And whoever got the most points was able to win tickets to sporting events, concerts. And then while we did that, we promoted these companies through our platform.
You learn lots of valuable lessons through that first startup, because it is, I think it's no longer
right.
a business.
No. Yeah.
And that sounds sad, but actually it was probably an incredible learning experience. I mean, you probably, for the next time you do a startup, you've already learned valuable lessons. I say, okay, I gotta avoid that. I gotta avoid this. I gotta avoid that.
Yeah. I mean, when trying to do something no one's ever done before, the odds of you doing it flawlessly are very low. People break world records all the time, but they have to fail a couple of times. And what I talk about this in my talk too, you need to look at failure not as something bad, but as an opportunity to learn what didn't work. And it'd be nice to fail early. Fail when you're in college. Get all those big life lessons done here. Get all that experience done when you're in college, so that when you leave college, you know exactly what it takes to start a business. That's what happened for me. It didn't go well, but now I know I've learned so much. I learned more starting that than in any class I've ever been in. Mm-hmm. So, absolutely. Those are all things I touch on in my talk.
Now, Charles, how did you go about assembling speakers like Abhi? And it's a mixture of faculty and students on this program.
Right. Well, I have to give all the credit, really, to Katie and Hannah, the student organizers. They've been really tremendous, and they took this idea, and I've sort of been support staff, you know, with the broom and the, you know, just kind of labor. But they've been very easy to work with, and basically, they sent out just a notification that says, look, we're going to start doing auditions for the first ever TEDx event here at TU. And the response was really, really strong. Everybody seemed so ready to get into it. And what we've ended up with is really a wide range of students from all the colleges. We have students from law, from arts and sciences, engineering and business. We have faculty from those same groups. And performers, which some of them are really, really pretty amazing. So I think TU is ready for an event like this. And again, I hope we can do this in a bigger way, you know, every year like this.
Will it always be a TEDx, or is the ultimate goal to actually have a TED event here?
You know, the TED global events are pretty gigantic, and yeah. I'm pretty sure we wouldn't be able to meet the rules that would require that. We were surprised by the level just for TEDx. But one thing they do require for it to be larger is for at least one of the organizers to have attended a TED Global event. So I think they want to probably want to instill that sense of a large TED, you know, virus, I guess, into the people that take it to the local areas.
Now, I'm not sure if a global TED event actually has a overall theme or there are a number of themes on them, but I know that when you see the TED Talks, there's usually a thematic element, and you've chosen a thematic element for this TEDx.
Right, right. It fits, again, within the Nova Fellowship idea of innovation. So it's innovation and imagination, and the students thought that would open it up for every type of major or interest to be able to participate. Because that's one of those ideas that any field of study or any field of work needs. And back to Abe's point, I mean, I really have to compliment him because he's really taken advantage of his years here to start some things and to take opportunities. And his next venture, I think, is just as promising as his first. I still have hopes for Inspire Vibe. I still think that's an awesome idea that still needs to maybe revive. But yeah. I really am just a fan of the students and how much they've taught me along the way.
And it looks like it's about the speaker lineup is about half students and half faculty.
Yeah, a little more of the students, actually, if you include performers. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, we have some really amazing faculty, you know, Bob Pickering, I think a lot of people know him just from the Gilcrease all those years. And, a lot of these talks are fairly brief, but, you know, true to the TED idea, they're compact and they have a lot of information.
And they're big ideas instead of the micro. And, of course, a lot of both students that are participating and faculty are honing in on a specialty. I'm thinking of like Austin Evans, who I know he's going to be talking about one of his research projects. Mm-hmm. And I think that the hardest part about doing, you know, high-level research is relating it to the lay people because you get sort of bound into the nomenclature of your specialty. I don't know what he's going to talk about exactly, but I do know the big idea, which is removing heavy metals from water, which is a horrible problem worldwide. And that's something he's working on.
Yeah, I think that's pretty exciting because all the innovations really ought to focus on a problem first. You know, where's the pain? Where can I help? And he's certainly addressed that. And all of these speakers have something, I think, pretty interesting to share on that in that way.
My guests today are Charles Wood, Associate Professor of Marketing at the University of Tulsa, and Abe Matamoros, a senior student in economics and finance who will be giving one of the TEDx talks. TEDx takes place at the University of Tulsa today from noon to 4. It's unfortunately sold out, but the videos will be available, I'm sure, through TED and various locations, maybe at the University of Tulsa as well. This takes place from noon to 4 at the Lorton Performance Center today. And give us a sense of, you mentioned Bob Pickering, he is a archaeologist, anthropologist, as well as somebody who's involved in art through Gilcrease and prior to that at the Buffalo Bill Cultural Center. So he's talking about the history of the past, so I assume it'll be some mix of art and anthropology and archaeology.
Yeah, you know, his particular talk, he's a fantastic speaker and is very comfortable relating things to everyday people like me, you know, and I can understand him. And he's just exploring how we might do museums in the future and really better ways for us to appreciate and understand the past. So he, in a very short period of time, you know, and with several visuals, you know, takes you through a new idea about, you know, how the future of museums might look.
Now, as the mentor for these, and I assume you're attending rehearsals as professors and students work through it, my gut feeling is probably the students probably are easy at adapting to this model than maybe some of the professors, because there are some professors who speak to lay people all the time, but a lot of times when professors are speaking about their specialty or about their passion, they're talking to other professionals.
Yeah, you're right.
And I know for a fact because I'm a friend with one of the speakers, and he's been sweating it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know which speaker you're talking about, but yeah, it's different being a lecturer like in a classroom or to even to other, you know, at a conference talking about your research and then talking to a group of people that, you know, from whatever, you know, if it's on the internet from anywhere around the world that might be interested in your topic, you need to be able to get it across. So, yeah, I think students are really more comfortable with that process. And I think Abe's message is actually right to college students and perhaps high school students, would you say, too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, talk about preparing this, the lecture you're going to give today. Was it, how much time have you spent on it? I mean, this has got to be a difficult time. This is your last semester, your last semester of work, and I assume it's a busy time of year. What were some of the key themes you really wanted to touch on?
Well, I wanted to share with high schoolers and college students some aspects of college life that they may not know about that make it a great time to start your own business. And that wasn't too hard because I've been doing it. So mm-hmm. I just pretty much thought back, all right, what's really helped me during my time here at the university and something that when I leave, I'm not going to have anymore. I wrote some of those things down. I like telling stories when I speak to people, so I included some stories into my talk. I feel like you were talking about how helping people relate to your talk and helping mm-hmm. them understand. I have some stories in there that I hope will help people understand and really grasp what I'm trying to share with them. Another thing is whenever I look at TED videos, sometimes I want to go through as many as I can. So if it says 20 minutes, I'm probably not going to watch it. So I wanted to keep it nice and short. I wanted to keep it short and get the message out quickly and with energy. I'm not as smart as most of these people. I'm not doing high-level research. Mm-hmm. So I realized maybe I just need to compensate with my energy.
But you know, your idea is really good because I think a lot of students, when they come to college, they think of it as, okay, this is my preparatory towards real life. You've taken it as the first step of real life.
Right. And even if it is in preparation, what I propose is that if you want to be an entrepreneur one day, the best way to learn how to be an entrepreneur is to do it. Is to do it. There's only so much you can learn from a book. It's like if you want to be a professional athlete, you can read books on that sport, but it's not till you actually play the sport that you're going to get better. Entrepreneurship is the same, and you need to fail sometimes. You need to learn through these obstacles. So worst case scenario, your startup doesn't work, but you're in college. You're here to learn, and I'm telling you, you're going to learn a lot.
Now, are you going to mention your latest idea, the new startup?
I'm working on a device to help organize medicine, to help people organize it more quickly, mm-hmm. and to help them remember to take their medicine more easily.
Well, we wish you great success with
Thank
that.
You.
My guest today is Abhi Matamoros, a senior student in economics and finance, and one of the speakers at TEDx at the University of Tulsa, which takes place today from noon to 4. It's TU's first TEDx, and it takes place at the Lorton Performance Center. The videos will be available online later. My guest today is also Charles Wood, the associate professor of marketing at the University of Tulsa, who's serving as mentor. And Charles, if you can just kind of go through some of the subjects that will be touched on during the day.
Sure. And I want to build on what Abe was saying, too, is that, you know, it's not just entrepreneurs that need to do things before they graduate.
Right.
I strongly believe that every student can gain a lot from just trying their field. And I think we see examples of that across the university. For example, Katie Riojas is a mechanical engineering student, and she is talking about Make a Difference Engineering, which is a club that helps design products for people that, you know, need particular individualized care. So
either
for example,
physically limited,
right,
or something like
Little
that.
Little Lighthouse,
yeah,
has been
right.
there a yeah. lot of their focus. So, you know, when she goes out and does that, I mean, that's a whole different type of learning beyond the classroom. Molly Noah is just talking about how, like in her world, like when kids go to museums, she's a museum studies student. When they go to museums, she wants that to be, you know, practical and real and live for them, not like touch screens, which they could probably get at home when they're, you know, on a computer or watching television, but she wants something that's more interactive and more applied.
Something that they can't find anywhere else
exactly.
than that museum.
Exactly.
Yeah,
we right. can all surf over to a major museum and see what they have, but for kids, she wants them to engage with the art and become, you know, discover that art spark themselves, which I think is very interesting and something that if she's going to really, you know, embellish that idea, she needs to try it out with some kids, right?
Right.
And she has. And in other cases, we have Caleb LaRue, who's really an amazing student that actually was going to talk about one thing, and then he changed it to another, then he changed it again. And we're like, whatever, Caleb, you know, you'll be fine. But he's on his way to Harvard PhD program in genetic statistics, I think. So he's really quite a guy. But he also does endurance sports, and he runs ultra marathons and things. And his talk is really something very personal. So, you know, he's been in the lab a lot, and they have the undergraduate research here at TU, which is fabulous. You know, he's done all that, and now, you know, he's talking about something a little more little more personal, a little more real to him.
Yeah, you also have faculty members like Alana Newman, who is a specialist on journalism and trauma. You know, we think of the military forces around the world encountering trauma and stress and traumatic stress. She's followed the journalists who are often with them that are also encountering that, and that's been her specialty.
Yeah, she really has an amazing background and a lot of experience. And, you know, it's probably difficult for some of these people to squish their ideas down into a, you know, 6 or 10 or even 15-minute segment, but that's the TED format. And I think it's a really helpful and good format.
I mean, is it still a 20-minute limit like you do at on a TED Talk on video, or is it actually shorter?
We've tried to put it more at 15 tops. Uh-huh. And so people like Abe and some others are going to keep it shorter, which I think is awesome too. And in between the talks, we'll have performers. We'll have some videos that they require us to show, or, you know, they require us to show videos. We choose them. And then you know, another talk and then some variety, and we'll have a break in the middle, and then people come back in for the second half.
I know some of the other faculty members, Alan Harkness, will be speaking on a new notion of mental health. Yeah.
Right. It's really pretty in-depth, and I was watching him or listening to him during the rehearsals, and I was like, wow, this is really new to me. I've never heard this before, and I spent some time in the psychology literature, but I'd not come across this before, so his ideas are certainly new as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Jan Wilson would be reimagining disability and what that actually means.
Right, she wants to redefine, I think, what ability and disability actually are. So she's going back to something really more fundamental, which I think is great. You know, let's retrace our steps and see if there's a better way forward for the whole disability community and conversation.
Well, the best thing about a TED Talk for both of you, I would assume, is you come up on a new perspective, new information that's presented in a way that's generally understandable without, you know, doing lots of reading, and it opens your eyes to a new thing. Have as you watch those various speakers prepare, has that been accomplished here through the rehearsal process?
Oh, absolutely. There's some speakers where when you hear their talk, they give you perspective you've never heard of, and a lot of the times it relates to you, and it makes you stop and think and really reflect on not only what they said, but on yourself. And I think that's what a powerful TED Talk can do. It gets you to reflect not only on the talk and how interesting it was, but on you and your life and how that can affect your life.
Or even how that person handles their own area can reflect to you on in the
exactly.
way you do your own particular parts of your life.
And to me, that's the power of that interdisciplinary connections, right? I never would have probably sat down and read Alan Harkness's article, right? But if I can hear him talk about it for just a few minutes, you know, I can say, oh, yeah, you know, that's something that I benefited from, that I could use, that I could build on. But, you know, that's the power of this, is that you get ideas from anthropology, from biology, from chemistry, from business, and you can see there's some unity there and there's some power just in us working together.
Now, earlier on you mentioned that this was sort of the inaugural event, and the TED umbrella says, okay, let's see how you do. Is this an audition of sorts for a sort of a yearly TEDx?
That's actually a pretty good way to think about it. I think we've discovered that, yeah, this is more about us proving ourselves as it is about us putting on, you know, a big event. So, yeah, I think we're ready. We have the front lobby will be filled with, I think Fab Lab's coming to join us for a while. They'll be doing these full body scans of people if they want, and they can carry away a scan of yourself to print later, I guess, on a 3D printer. We'll have a 3D printer working. A photo booth, we'll have some student projects like Abe and some other people there to just sort of, you know, create sort of a festive environment out in the lobby while the talks are going on.
All right. Well, gentlemen, we wish you success with this first TEDx event. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rich.
Charles Wood is an associate professor of marketing at the University of Tulsa and mentor for TEDx at the University of Tulsa, which takes place from noon to 4 today at the Lorton Performance Center. Abi Matamoros is a senior student in economics and finance who will be one of the TED speakers, speaking about his two startup businesses he created while still in college. For more information about TEDx, visit the University of Tulsa's website at utulsa.edu and search for TEDx, and you can see the videos online at a later date. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. Here's the comments of Mark Dara.
I have decided to declare myself a hero. I am a hero. There, I've done it. I'm a hero. What, you might ask, have I done to deserve being called a hero? Have I ever rushed into a burning building to save a widow and her grandchildren from perishing in flames? Have I ever gone into battle and put my life at risk above all others to save my fellow service members from destruction? Have I ever taken an unpopular public stand that could result in the loss of my reputation, career, and livelihood? Have I ever done anything that risks my life exclusively for the benefit of others? No, I haven't. I am a writer. I've spent a significant part of my life developing my writing skills. Some people think I do a pretty good job. Some people even wish they could write like I do. Therefore, I am a hero. But being a good writer doesn't make one heroic, does it? You tell me, though, how being a good writer is any different than being a good football player or great basketball player. Does winning a gold medal for the U.S. at the Olympics make a gymnast a heroine? Does hitting a home run to win the World Series elevate the hitter to hero status? What tangible risk have they taken exclusively for the benefit of others? No, these sports figures have done nothing different than I have. They spend a good portion of their lives becoming very good at what they do, and in critical moments have been successful. Their devotion and skill may be admirable and worth emulating, but does that by itself make sports figures heroes? Let's push it further. Being in the armed forces doesn't automatically make one a hero either. An airman who loads cargo planes stateside for the length of an entire war may be skilled, may be devoted, may be doing work critical to the effort. But that serviceman or woman isn't a hero, as admirable as his or her service may be. Our use of the word hero is sloppy. Maybe we need another word to identify those admirable people who possess extraordinary skill obtained by dedication and devotion, in order to distinguish them from those who unselfishly take great risks for the good of others. It's no wonder to be called a hero if you aren't. I am no hero. Don't belittle real heroes by calling me one.
Mark Dara is a local attorney, a writer, and a regular contributor to Studio Tulsa. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. If you missed one of our recent programs, they're available online anytime at publicradiotulsa.org. Just look for the tab on Studio Tulsa and you can search through our archives. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.